So the title of my sermon today is The Mikey Paradox. The year was 1971 when a little company by the name of Quaker was looking for an advertisement to sell their Life cereal. And what happened was one of the most famous ad campaigns of all time. It ran for nearly 15 years, and I realized that summarizing the commercial would actually take longer than watching it. So I am going to have us watch this famous Mikey Life commercial that you probably are all very familiar with.
Can try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it.
I'm not going to try it.
Let's get Mikey.
Yeah.
He won't eat it. He hates everything.
He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
When you bring Life home, don't tell the kids it's one of those nutritional cereals you've been trying to get them to eat. You're the only one who has to know.
So that's where the commercial ends. We don't actually get to see what happens next. So raises the question, do you think that Mikey was able to finish his bowl of cereal? Do you think his older brothers, now knowing that the cereal was delicious, are going to let him sit there and eat the whole bowl by himself while they calmly go and get their own bowl of cereal? And if you do think that, you probably haven't had older brothers. I think as soon as these older brothers find out that it's not one of those gross, healthy cereals, they would have stolen it right back from him. He's the youngest, after all. No way he gets to keep that bowl of delicious cereal, right? Not without a fight. This is what was always bothered me about this commercial. This is what I call the Mikey Paradox. In order to keep the bowl of cereal, he has to act like he doesn't really like the bowl of cereal, right? Because once he appears to be enjoying the cereal, well, his brothers are going to take it away from him. So he has to pretend like he doesn't like the cereal. But then he wouldn't be able to eat the cereal, because why would you eat something that you don't like? This is the paradox, the Mikey paradox. And it is a paradox that we often run into when we are confronted with things that we love. It's a paradox that is described by Jesus in our scripture today. But before we get to that, I want to take you to another date and place. August 1995, San Jose, California. San Jose International Airport. This is where I was saying goodbye to my parents as I was heading off to my freshman year of college at NYU. Now, I had also gotten into Santa Clara University, which is right down the street from the high school that I attended. Santa Clara University had given me a substantial scholarship, but even more than financial incentive, I would be close to home. And I know that my parents really wanted me to go to Santa Clara University. Wouldn't you like to stay here, my mom would say, with your friends, with me? They would see me far more often, but they knew deep in their heart of hearts that NYU was where I belonged. Going to the Tisch School of the Arts was a dream come true. And if they had refused to let me go, if they had imposed an iron will on me, made the decision, put their foot down and said, no, you are going to Santa Clara University and that is that, I would have stayed, for sure. But something would have been lost. There would have been a part of our relationship that would be broken in some way. And it might never recover. And so, with tears in their eyes, my parents gave me a big hug and a kiss and said goodbye as I got on the plane. This was pre-9/11, so you could actually go up to the gate. I wish people off of the plane. And as I looked back and waved by, I realized that is love. that this was love. This was selfless love. This is the love that Jesus describes as having. This love that is prominent throughout the Bible and has been shown in various ways throughout our season of Lent. Now, we began Lent on the first Sunday with Noah and the Ark, and we witnessed God making a covenant with humanity. That no matter how much they acted in evil, no matter how much they turned away from God, God would not respond with this kind of violence ever again. God willingly gave up this power out of love. On the second Sunday, we journeyed with Abraham and Sarah as they were given new names and promises to be a mother and a father of a great nation. They weren't given this because they were overly righteous or perfect. Far from it. They were given this because they were willing and trusting. They were willing to be in relationship with God. They were willing to enter into this relationship based on love. Our third Sunday, Elaine opened up our eyes to the majesty that is in God's commandments. Like the beauty of creation, God's commandments are in perfect order. And Elaine showed us how when we enter into the heart of God, it is so much bigger on the inside. That is the vastness of God's love. And last week, we sat with Moses as he listened to complaints from the Israelites. Complaints about a population that refused to trust in God, even though God had come through for them again and again and again. They refused to look up. They refused to see God until they were desperate. And when they finally did, when they finally looked up, when they finally began to trust God, God was there with mercy and with love. So here today we come into our fifth Sunday of Lent, and it is this Sunday where we really can start to feel the end approaching. The cross is looming over us, its shadow getting ever longer as we get closer and closer to Holy Week. It begins next Sunday. And so today we meet up with Jesus as he is also trying to make clear to his followers what is about to happen. What his arrest and his trial will mean, not just for him, but for them. He's desperately trying to get them to understand this paradox of selfless love. So let's get into it. Now the scripture begins today with a seemingly casual mention of some Greeks that want to talk to Jesus. They want to see Jesus. And the text is unclear if these are Gentiles or if these are Hellenistic Jews from Greece that are looking to speak to Jesus. But whatever the case, Jesus uses this as a teaching moment. Because clearly his reputation is spreading. It is getting bigger and bigger. People are looking to him for something. They want to know what he is about. They want to know what he is going to say. And this is what he gives to them. He says the time is coming. Now we know that. I just told you that next week is Holy Week. But the disciples were not aware of this. And he says to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Now, Jesus didn't have the Mikey paradox that I have this morning. Nor does he have a touching story of his family at the airport. But he does have a metaphor that he feels people will understand, and that is of a grain, of a seed. It reminds me of when I lived in Portland, there was a local burger chain called Burgerville. And this place was so Portland. I mean, they had everything that you would expect. The gluten-free buns, veggie burger options. They had local ingredients. They would get these Hood strawberries for their strawberry milkshakes. They had seasonal things. And in their kids' meals, this was really the icing. Their kids' meals, instead of toys, they would come with little packets of seeds. Now, if you know Brian, you know his favorite food is cheeseburgers. So we had a lot of packets of seeds. And we kept those seeds for a long time. And they were still good, still hardy. But we never planted them, however. We didn't have access to a yard in our apartment, and as you know, we have brown thumbs. So we never got anything from them. They were just seeds. Seeds have to die in order to bear fruit. They have to split open. The shell has to wither away. And Jesus makes this metaphor clear by saying, those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Those who love their life lose it, but those who hate their life in this world will keep it. It's the Mikey paradox all over again. If you love your cereal, it'll be taken away from you. But if you hate it, you will keep it forever. Now, at first glance, it might seem that Jesus is talking about himself, this seed that has to die to go in the ground to bear much fruit. He knows that his life is about to end, and it appears that he is trying to warn them. But if you look at all of the verses that follow this metaphor, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about his followers. It's true that he will die, but what he wants to make clear to them is how he will die, why he will die. And that has to do with selfless love. The entirety of Jesus' message has been devoted to showing how God's selfless love and mercy is available to all. His teachings illuminate how God's ways are counter to the ways of the established world. The theologian Charles Campbell says that when we read this scripture, instead of the word world, which we might think of as creation or the planet, it says a better, more modern translation would be system, the systems of the world. And Jesus is saying to follow him, you must give up your love and attachment to the systems of this world. Systems that were created by humanity out of selfishness and self-preservation and not out of love. Systems that are upheld through inequality and through brute force. What does this mean for Jesus? It's very indicative of how he will die. For Jesus, this meant that he was not going to take another person's life. He was not going to rise up and create some kind of a following and uprising that would cost lives in the pursuit of power, no matter how justified it would be. He wasn't going to amass an army. He wasn't going to march into Jerusalem on a war horse with a spear in his hand. He was not going to perpetuate a system where the strongest remained strong through brutality and force. This was the Roman system. This was the system of the world. Continues to be the system of the world. He wasn't going to support a system where the richest remained rich by exploiting the needy. He wasn't going to hold on to his life if it meant following that system. Instead, he would follow God. And he would act in love. He would follow love. he would believe in love. And so he doesn't rise up against Pilate when he is tried. He doesn't strike back against the guards who are striking him. He is acting in love to demonstrate for his followers what it means to act in love. Selfless love. Love for others. And this kind of love is eternal because it can never be taken away. And through his bold actions, this system will be exposed for what it truly is. A sinful creation of humanity. When Jesus goes to the cross, violence will be shown for what it is. Not a deserving punishment, not a necessary evil, but brutal horror, nothing more. And the injustice of this will sting everyone that sees it, because they know that it is wrong. It'll be brought out in full view of everyone. And in fact, witnesses there say this truly must be. I believe that when we look upon the cross, it's not to glorify Christ's suffering. It's not to think about all of the how wonderful it was that Jesus took this upon himself for me. I don't believe that it is for that purpose. I believe that when I look upon the cross, it is a reminder of the horrors of evil. But also how love can triumph over that. And I believe this is what Jesus, and by extension John, in this gospel, was trying to instill in that group of followers that day. And Jesus concludes by saying this, When I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. In the end, when this system is exposed for what it truly is, and the idea of the response of the love of Jesus and the power of that response will be an alternative to this system. It will attract people. People from the ends of the earth. Even those Greeks that we first heard about at the beginning. And maybe the people will come to understand that this system that they are upholding, this system of winner take all, this world they have created where power and wealth are valued over care and concern, maybe they will realize that this world is not eternal. That this system only leads to more destruction. And maybe the followers of Jesus will remember what he said and begin to loosen their grips on their attachment to these systems. These systems they have clung to for so long. Maybe they'll be able to break cycles of violence and greed. And maybe they will be able to choose love even when it is hard. Even when it costs something. And maybe, just maybe, they will get a glimpse of eternity. And maybe we will too. May it be so. Amen.